Phil Dixon joins us, and Phil has been a wonderful baseball writer. He's been a researcher for over 35 years. He's written numerous books on the subject of African-American baseball. He's won the prestigious Casey Award for the Best Baseball Book of the Year. He's appeared on PBS, C-SPAN, BET, Fox Sports, National Public Radio, Sirius XM Radio, and now he can add to the list. Talking baseball on the weekends in the park with Marty Lurie and Adam Copeland. Phil, nice to have you with us. So you're a co-founder of the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City, and it's a pleasure having you on the show today. How are you?
All right. I would say it's my pleasure as well.
Very good. Phil Dixon with us. The book is The Dizzy and Daffy Dean Barnstorming Tour. It's 1934, Race, Media, and America's National Pastime. Phil, tell us about the book and the long research you did on it and why this is significant in American history.
Well, you know, first of all, I do want to thank Roman and Littlefield for believing in this topic and for giving the opportunity to publish this, what I think is a slight important slice of baseball history. But, you know, I don't know how much young fans know about Dizzy Dean today or the Dean brothers, but Dizzy was pretty important back in 1934. So was his brother Daffy. Of course, you know, they won 49 regular season games as pitchers, then went on to win four games in the World Series. So that's 53 games in one season? And then most people remember Dizzy from broadcasting on the NBC Game of the Week with T.V. Reese. But in the fall of 34, after the World Series, they beat Detroit in the World Series of seven games. And then Dizzy and his brother went on a 14-game barnstorming tour playing against the best Negro League teams in the country. So they played six games against Kansas City Monarchs, a couple of games against Philadelphia Stars, then a couple of games New York Black Yankees. Then they finished up with the Pittsburgh Coffers, where Dizzy saw Cecil Page for the first time. So it's important. It's important history because how it was covered by the media was very disingenuous.
Well, we always talk about history being written by the victor, right? And it seems like maybe this was a situation where they could angle the story in the way that they wanted to portray this barnstorming tour. Can you talk about how it was portrayed and the differences in maybe the angles of the storylines from the side of the Deans versus the sides of some of the Negro League players?
Yeah, well, if you take the Deans, first of all, in researching, I can tell you every hotel where the Deans stay. But I can tell you nothing about where the black team stayed. I can even tell you what Dizzy had for breakfast, for lunch, and dinner. But I can't tell you what the black teams ate for the whole season. Also, there was a lot of emphasis put on Dizzy being tired. But the Kansas City Monarchs, who had been barnstorming all years, only played three games in Kansas City. Of course, they were never tired, according to the writers. And then they began to leave things out of stories. For instance, when the Deans played the Monarchs in Des Moines, Iowa, one of the exhibition games, Charlie Beverly, the Monarchs, struck out 13 of Deans' All-Stars, and they never mentioned his name in the article. So there's lots of stories like that. And so it gives me an opportunity to reintroduce not only the Negro Major League players, but members of Dizzy Dean's All-Stars who were pretty fantastic in their own right.
The name of the book is The Dizzy and Daffy Dean Barnstorming Tour, Race, Media, and America's National Pastime. Was America in general, or I know the Negro Leagues obviously not on the same level as the Major Leagues in what was written about them and portrayed about them, but in general, was America aware of the talent that was coming through the Negro Leagues at this time?
I don't think they were, because people got their information through the newspapers. And so the major leagues were basically portrayed as the best baseball talent in the world, really. And it wasn't always so by a wide margin. And then when Dizzy took this tour, it created the perfect storm for us to do this type of comparison. And so I'm just happy that I, you know, kind of stumbled into it maybe about 20 years ago and actually was able to put these thoughts and to bring forward the truth about what was going on. And actually it changes baseball history because now we have to look at these men as genuine athletes on the all-time great list.
Phil Dixon is with us. The book, The Dizzy and Daffy Dean Baseball Tour, the barnstorming tour. Phil, did the African-American press cover it, at least to get some perspective from their angle?
Yes, what I tried to do is touch on everybody who played a role in this. So, yeah, So plays, you know, of course, the Chicago Defender, the Pittsburgh Courier, and even newspapers like the Wichita Eagle that aren't referenced very much, the Kansas City Call, they all covered it. And they had different stories and a different spin than the daily newspapers had. It was fascinating to write about, fascinating. And one thing I might say, though, you know, the book has been out less than a month. And I've been kind of overwhelmed by the reception it's been getting because it's not the typical baseball story you read about.
I want to ask you about, you're talking about how the portrayal of the African-American athlete against the Deans in this barnstorming tour was maybe not as detailed. You're talking about, you know, you know everything about the Deans, where they ate, where they stayed, how they played. They were never tired. Were statistics kept for the African-American side so we know how well they performed against the white teams here in this barnstorming tour?
Oh, yes, yes. Actually, out of all the games that were played, 14, there's only two box scores that are missing. So I was able to take box scores and do a lot. And then, of course, I knew a lot about the Negro League players because I started doing history of Negro League players back in 1980. So I knew probably more than the average person did about the Negro League. So I was able to bring them into a different look. And, of course, it's got 50 photographs in the book, and some of them never been seen, and some of them rarely seen. And it allowed me to tell a unique story about, you know, civil rights and racism. And what they used to call, what they're calling now fake news is not new.
Boy, very good. Phil, you did a great job with it, and I know it took you years to do all this research, correct?
Yeah, you know, I actually started the book back in 1996. And my twist was, you know, showing how the media twist news. And it didn't really catch on, and nobody wanted to publish it. And then, of course, in these modern times, with this phrase fake news going around, I pitched it again. And, hey, they say, hey, it's a good topic, so it's timely now. And but the research, I never stopped researching. And so, I love to research. So if anybody's ever read any of my books, get ready for some research. I dig deep.
Love it. Phil Dixon, Dixon, again, the book, The Dizzy and Daffy Dean Barnstorming Tour, Race, Media, and America's National Pastime. And just listening to Phil describe the book, you can understand the perspective in there and what we all can learn from the book. Phil, we always like to promote our independent bookstores, the Book Tree up in Montclair. David can get the book here. Where would one go to get it? Is there a website or anything for you?
Yeah, you can get it all over. I saw it being issued in Australia and over into Japan. The thing is, if a person wants to look at it, if they will remember just three words, Dizzy, Daffy, and Dixon, which is my name, you put that into your Google or whatever your search engine, Yahoo, whatever, and the book will pop up. Dizzy, Daffy, and Dixon.
All right.
I'm glad it's not Dizzy, Daffy, and Marty Lurie. That'd be quite a law firm.
And Marty, thank you for giving me the opportunity. You know, it's been a few years since I've been out on the coast, and so I do a lot of things here in the Midwest, and I'm going to the East this year. But, I'm looking forward to coming out there. But I do certainly appreciate you giving me an opportunity to talk about this great baseball topic.
Well, we're glad to have you, and I'm looking to come your way as well. I've never been to the museum, and I know the Lester Rodney movie plays out there, and I can't wait to come out and see it.
If you're out this way, I'll give you a tour, no charge.
Very good. All right. Thanks, Phil. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, you too. Thank you very much, guys.